What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Empire 161 Show, Season 5, Episode 1. We are back!
Woo!
Back on opening day Eve.
Major League
Baseball, because we are officially back tomorrow. Yankees, 4 o'clock at the Astros. It's exciting time. This is almost like, Christmas Eve.
It's 100% like Christmas Eve, my birthday, all rolled into one.
Yeah, absolutely. Super excited to be here. Right, super excited to talk some baseball because it's been a minute. We got AC/DC's Play Ball to kick off the show. And thank you for joining us. If you're joining us on Facebook Live stream, if you're joining us on YouTube or X or wherever you find the audio and podcast, we appreciate the support as always. We're fired up. I'm Ed. With me, as always, is Lisa. Lisa, what's up? How was your offseason, Ben? How was everything going?
I mean, offseason was, just counting down the days until tomorrow. So, I mean, from the last game of the season till now, I was just like, okay, how many days left? So excited to be back. So excited to be on season 5. I got a new look this time around. I got short hair now.
Nice.
Feeling free. I think we're just, both of us are just happy to be back. We have some things we want to talk about today to welcome you back in the fold. Thank you to everybody that will be tuning in and joining us throughout the season. Even our hater that likes to come on all the time, we welcome you back too. So, and I
he's
see our
excited.
I know he's very excited. He's our number one fan. So
exactly.
And our boss tuned in. So I like it. I like it.
Nice. I know he's got his own show. They're doing Unsportsmanlike Conduct tonight as well. So we got a lot of stuff going on the Pop Culture Pros Network.
It is
specifically for some of them. But what's up, Farachi? What is going on, man? Yeah, we're hyped up to be back. I know you guys put in the books. We're talking some baseball recently. So now we got the Yankees perspective it is to talk about some baseball. So pretty loose format. We don't have games to recap for the week because we're not going to recap what spring training because that would be complete lunacy. But we do have some random stuff to talk about. And we have a trade the Yankees made earlier today that we'll discuss shortly. But we figured we'd kick things off with a little, MLB offseason stuff. I mean, a couple of things jump out besides, obviously, transactions and trades and stuff that we didn't get a chance to comment on, even though through our Facebook page we've had some stuff. But I guess one of the things that's the hot topic at the moment is the Shohei Ohtani betting scandal,
allegedly
interpreter
allegedly.
Thingamajig. Like, I don't know, like the story keeps on changing pretty much every few hours, and Ohtani released like an official statement yesterday, didn't take questions from the media, which doesn't really look great, but nonetheless, though,
interpreter, so.
Well, they got another one. I would, the Dodgers, who have all the money apparently in the universe, when you thought that it was just the Yankees, apparently can afford any interpreter that they want. But they did apparently get a shady one there, because the guy who has been the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani apparently is like a best friend of his, and apparently
not
has
anymore.
Access. Well, no, not anymore. But apparently has access to his bank accounts and. One of them specifically, yeah. Let me lay out some of the bizarre details, and then you jump in.
Okay.
And just give me what it is, because they're all over the place. I'm even going to try to make sense out of it, even though it makes no sense. So we're going to try to do this. So apparently, there was basically illegal sports betting, and it's actually not legal in California either. But so apparently, some betting was going on, and some. A whole lot of betting, equal about, I think what they said was about $4.5 million.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and there were increments of multiple transactions and deposits that were made to this bookie that was there, and it was from Shohei Ohtani's account. So obviously you would think that's who it is, but apparently the interpreter is the one who was placing the betting, and
allegedly.
And at one point it was, you know, I was there, I was being robbed. Ohtani said he was being robbed at one point. And at a separate point, he was sending the money for him and was kind of like very aloof to the situation. I don't know. Bottom line is the FBI and Major League Baseball are investigating the situation. It's just bizarre. And yes, Raul, that is the case. Ohtani can't take any questions for the because the IRS and FBI is doing. Yes, that is correct. But regardless, you can find ways around it. You know, we've seen people answer questions for things, even though they're investigations. So there are ways to do it. I'm not letting them off the hook for that. But all right. So Lisa, did I cover everything here? I mean, these are the random facts that we think we know or don't know. Facts and air quotes. What are your thoughts on the situation?
Okay. Ed, how long have we known each other? This is not, you know, like me testing our friendship. Roughly, how long have we known each other?
About, I would say over a decade.
Okay, I would say closer to 15 years.
That's over a decade. That's why
yeah, I. No, it myself. Is. I know, but it's like it. Yes, you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm just giving the audience perspective. I've known Ed for a very long time. Ed, would you? No, I'm not going to ask yet. I consider Ed a good friend.
Yes, likewise.
Okay, so very safe answer. So Ed and I have known each other a long time, and I'm also extremely close to his wife, Angie. She is one of my very, very, very good friends. In no world, and I'll even take it a step further, I have three brothers, and my brothers, I'm very close to my family. In no world am I giving my bank account information to anybody, not even my brothers.
Nope.
Nobody. Like, that's my money that I earned. You're not getting it. Now, if I want to set up a separate bank account that you have access to as my interpreter so that you can send things back home, or like that's how I pay you for being, the team would pay the guy anyway. Whatever. If I want to give you extra money on the side because you're great and you become my good friend, like he said, like I'm creating another completely different bank account for you that has another way that money gets streamed into it that you don't have access to how that money gets streamed in. So this kind of boggles my mind that he could have that much trust in somebody that's not even a blood relative of his that you're giving money to, and you make, like, unless he's known this man literally since they were children, and even then you still can't trust that, like I'm not giving you this information because I make all this money. I'm one of the world's most famous baseball players. And there's so much temptation out there. I mean, you know, look what happened to Selena, to my Latin community. Yep. The head of her fan club killed her. And that's not alleged because the lady was just in prison for that for many years. No, so like, that was a fact. So like, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know if Shohei Ohtani is just like, you know, like if he's innocent, and I hope he is, and he has nothing to do with this, if he's innocent in all this, are you that trusting of people that you give somebody your bank account information and you just trust them with all this money and you're not paying attention to it? I don't know. But I've also heard many famous people that get rich quickly and were never, you know, knew about budgeting and taking care of their money prior to, like, they struggle. They struggle a whole lot with all of the money and all of the taxes that come along with it. They struggle and they get taken advantage of by so many people. So, I mean, I don't hope he got taken advantage of, but I also don't hope he was involved. So, but this sucks. I don't know what's going to happen with that.
All right. So I do believe in innocent until proven guilty, right? Like that's the thing. It's the way it's supposed to be. The court of public opinion does not work that way. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it does not. Mm-hmm. Based on the facts that have been presented, I find, for me, it's very hard to believe that he had nothing to do with it whatsoever. I personally had nothing to do with it. Now, I'm not saying that he automatically was placing bets, But I, number one, the first red flag that popped up to me was this. How did the bookie let that tab go up that far without collecting? That's what I'm saying. Now, let's just, for the sake of argument, say he knew who he was. Like, he's like, this is Shohei Ohtani's interpreter.
He's got money.
So let's just let him, let's give him all the rope in the world and let him just, whatever happens, happens. Right? And if Ohtani is actually naive enough to do it, then let it be. It's not my problem. Right? Apparently, eventually did become his problem. So I just have a tough time believing that Ohtani knew nothing about that. The fact that he was sending the money for his friend, he was still sending the money. My point is, I fully believe he was aware of the money being sent. I don't believe he was robbed. I think maybe he may have been naive in maybe what was going on, right? Like, completely, because the things we found out about this interpreter is this. Apparently, his entire resume is complete bullshit. And I'm not saying, listen, people fudge their resumes. Let's just be honest. Call it what it is. They do. But to this extent, that's a whole other story. You've created an entire career that basically doesn't exist. That's a whole other level. So that's the part that, like, so this dude really looks like he's in a very bad light. Now, I don't know what Ohtani knew about him and his personal life and knew and didn't know. I don't know. He could have been his friend, and that's that. But I think the thing is, if Ohtani was not the one placing bets, then you're number one, you're going to have to prove that he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And that's good. I just feel like that's very tough to prove. And this story is not going away anytime soon. There's a lot of shit that's still has to come out about this.
Yeah.
But even let's say the interpreter was placing a bet, so Ohtani was sending the money for him. You're aiding and abetting a crime. You are. So you're guilty of something. Now, if he's found to be betting on baseball, now then your career is done. It's over. Lifetime ban. If you were betting on sports illegally, he's gonna face some suspension at some point. But the question is, what is found, what it can be proven, what evidence is there? Now, for the part of the FBI investigating, I have way more confidence in that part of it. For Major League Baseball investigating? Yeah, okay, you guys needed immunity from the Astros to prove that they were cheating. And also, you couldn't find anything on the 2019 one either. Okay. It's like Inspector Clouseau is the one who's the inspector for Major League Baseball. He's their private eye. Like, just plug in whatever the worst detective you could imagine is. That's who's working. It's like Keystone Cops going on. So baseball's not going to find anything. Plus, they're not going to find anything on their golden boy either.
Definitely. He's one of the poster children of baseball.
Yes, it's basically him and Judge. Like, they're the old poster guys for baseball. And you're not going to get rid of the international one. That's definitely not going to happen. So I'm expecting nothing to be found by Major League Baseball. The FBI, we'll see.
Totally different. They have no control over that.
Yeah, no, they don't. And it depends on what it is. They're not trying to get immunity. And I'd be like, hey, Ohtani, we'll grant you immunity from your suspension if you just really tell us what happens.
Yeah, and I agree with what Raul said. This is my opinion. Ohtani tried to help out his interpreter. Yeah, I think he's just being a good person. He has the means to help the guy out. The problem is, though, when it becomes 4 points, like, okay, let's just use, again, Ed and I, we've been friends for almost 15 years. Ed, if I had a gambling problem and I asked you one day, hey, Ed, can I borrow $50? You might say yes one time.
Yeah, that's easy. Not
right? $50 is not crazy. And I'm not going to take it to the level of Shohei Ohtani, because your and my incomes combined don't even make him blink. Like, he makes our incomes combined in like 5 minutes.
So he blows us away with one of his deposits.
Yeah. So I'm just going to go with like a more realistic perspective. So I ask you, hey, Ed, can I borrow $50? You may or may not give me $50 one time. Mm-hmm. If I continuously ask you like once a month, once every couple weeks for $50, and then I tell you it's, you know, I'm having an issue paying off something that I got involved in, and you're probably going to well, I would think that you would cut me off and as my friend try to help me. And if you see that I'm not, that I cannot be helped, you're going to like completely cut off our friendship, I would think.
It's
so now let's, you know, a million times this, like no friend, I don't care how much money I make, no friend is going to rack up a 4.5, whatever you said, $1 million debt. Yep. And I'm going to keep giving them money. Like you're enabling him.
It's...
at this point, you're enabling his gambling addiction. Cause it is, it's an addiction.
Absolutely. It is. It's just, it's very hard for me to wrap my mind around the situation. That's why I think in the end it has to be, let's see what happens. Right. Let's see how it goes. There's still a lot we don't know, and that's a fact.
Like, of course, of course.
This is long from gone, but as of right now, it doesn't look good for Otani. Put it that way. I said I don't care what he says. I know he vehemently denied it, and you also have to prove that you really didn't know anything about this. So, yeah, we'll see. Another comment from Raul here: Otani will get an MLB suspension somewhere along the way, forced by the federal government. I don't know. I mean, I think we'll see. We'll see where this goes. There's a lot to go on, but this is just, it's wild. It's just a wild, wild story.
I mean, and at the end of the day, whatever the resolution is, whether he gets fined, whether he gets in trouble, whatever, at the end of the day, at the very least, he's gonna look like the biggest sucker in the world.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe he is, like, super naive, and he's just one of these dudes who was, like, so focused on being a professional athlete that he really is kind of, like, was sheltered in general. You know what I mean? Like, maybe he just doesn't know how the real world really works. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's out of – it's not plausible. It's like, not plausible that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that, but – it's, I don't know, it's very interesting. I'm just curious to see how far they go with this on both sides. I think the FBI will kind of be relentless on it because I think for them to maybe make an example out of Shohei Ohtani if he's guilty, and, you know, the way sports gambling has become legal in a lot of states and not others, like, I think they want to be like, hey, we made it legal in a lot of places, but if you do it illegally, this is the kind of shit that can go down. Like, if you're going to do it the way that you're supposed to do it now, or don't do it at all. I think it's possible. So, all right. So anything else on Ohtani? Cause there's another story that was just a little bit absurd.
Let's go to that one.
Okay. So for those who may have not seen, which again, if you're watching this, I would assume you've seen them before. But apparently Nike, who is, you know, they have their, you know, they have the MLB contract, and they were working last season with the players union to make the jerseys and uniforms more breathable and lighter. And that's something that I guess everyone is trying to do, right? Everyone's trying to make them lighter and faster. I mean, even Lisa, actually going back to the softball thing, right? When you first started with our softball team, we had these regular cotton T-shirts with the big, which looked cool, but it wasn't like plausible.
Listen,
right? Like, it wasn't realistic.
The
wanted poster,
the wanted iron-on thing on the back of our jerseys was just like, it was like a heater stuck on our back. Like that big wanted poster would like glom onto you the minute you started sweating.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. So,
wait, I want to add something to this. So, if you've tuned in, you know that I did the Yankees women's camp for several years, and I wore a Yankees uniform. That uniform was so thick and unbreathable, and I was there in January, which isn't nearly as hot as like normal. Of course, I was in Florida, so a lot hotter than here. But like to have to wear that all year long. That material was very thick. So I have to say, I do understand what Nike was trying to do. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, for sure. Like over time, even those of us who own authentic jerseys, you know that like they've changed dramatically, right, mm-hmm. over time. But now apparently the idea was to take it a step further and to make them even lighter. Now, which we did, something else we found out, by the way, which is a bit nuts, is that Fanatics apparently is who Nike goes to make the MLB uniforms. Nike mm-hmm. does not actually like make them themselves, which I found mm-hmm. to be pretty interesting as well. And they subcontracted them to do this, and their changes were made. And now there's two major problems. Well, maybe three major problems. Number one, I want to just show example number one here, because this is before we get to like the one that got the most compress. I'm going to add a picture of this for those who might be listening. Okay. I'm going to use Ohtani because.
Oh, how ironic. I'm
just talking to him. Okay. So, Lisa, let's look at this, the back of this jersey. We mm-hmm. got tiny lettering with the numbers there, and then it just. You can't see totally on this, but like this was just for the font in the back. Mm-hmm. It's bad. It looks like bootleg jerseys, like the ones that you get on those like Chinese websites that are like, hey, MLB jerseys, $20. Like all you're saving all this money and you get it. And it looks the wrong color, the wrong font, the wrong material. This is what they look like now. So, and I couldn't be more happier that the Yankees don't have names on their backs, because it's less, it's obviously not noticeable at all on the Yankees jerseys. So I'm sorry, Lisa, go ahead.
So I was doing some research on this because I knew we were going to talk about it. And mm-hmm. one anonymous player from the Baltimore Orioles said that the jerseys look like knockoffs sold out of TJ Maxx.
Yes, that's exactly what they look like.
And then Nick Castellanos of the Phillies said, it's crazy. My son's travel team at 10 and up has better quality uniforms than the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah.
And Matt Strom of the Phillies also said, it's a $1 billion industry being treated like Dollar General.
I don't understand who thought this was a good idea.
Oh man, that's cutting corners. Well, they're cutting corners to save.
Well, this part I'll say is a design flaw. Like, I don't think they're made the font smaller on the names to save money per se, but my whole thing is...
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the material.
Oh, yeah. No, the material, and again, I don't doubt that they would make things lighter, but, like, no one really tested this, because the thing with the lighter jerseys is also the fact that the pants are basically, especially the white pants, are basically see-through, and... We're basically fine. We were, at least I haven't seen any pictures of it recently, so I don't know if like some of this was maybe straightened out, because I know some teams, there was also shipping problems, and some teams are just wearing their pants from last year and just kind of just not saving.
I can't remember who it was, but one player in an article that I read said that the only major difference is the belt loops are different. So what that person did was have the team tailor or whatever cut the belt loops off of his old pants, the new pants, and put them on his old ones, and you couldn't tell the difference otherwise.
Yeah, there were some like interesting pictures that were coming out regarding. Uh-huh. I think we were basically learning. One? It would take me a minute to find one.
There is one of somebody where like you could see his shirt tucked into the pants. That's how.
Oh no, those were all over the place. But then also we were able to not beat around the bush. We basically found out some people who wears cups and who doesn't. Yeah, it was just
All right, listen, I'm not a man, okay, but like everybody should be wearing a cup. I'm sorry, if you get hit down there and you don't have a cup, you deserve it, because the even with a cup on, I'm sure it hurts.
All right, so I will briefly speak on this from at least from my little league days. That was like the last time I had to like do this. Number one, they're insanely uncomfortable. And I'm sure times have maybe changed a little bit since then. Because basically when I was on the field, you were required actually by mm-hmm. like, and then the second you were done, you would like go and like slide the thing out of the top and like just get rid of it. And that's it. If you were just out of the game. So mm-hmm. I was like, I had been pitching and stuff like that too. So I was just like, once I was done, I'm like, all right, That's it. We're good. End the story.
Free the boys.
But the truth is, not everyone wears them. Like, it's just the way it is. But I agree with you, though.
I think that's crazy because, like, I mean, the other day at one of the, I believe it was at one of the Mexico games, one of the catchers got hit.
Yep.
And had to take a couple minutes to, you know, let the sting go away. But the sting, and John Flaherty said, that doesn't go away that quickly. Like, you still feel it. And there's nothing anybody could do about that. Like, you just have to let that sting finally, like, fade to a tolerable amount.
Yeah, because there's no amount of ice or anything like that that's going to help you there. It's just, it is what it is. But truth be told, though, there are professional athletes. There's also football players. There's also, they do it at their own risk. Yeah. And it is risky. It is extremely risky.
Extremely risky.
And, but the point was, with the see-through white pants, it was bad. It was basically, it was getting pretty bad at one point. Mm-hmm. And I know Tony Clark and the Players Union also filed a complaint with Major League Baseball and Fanatics and Nike. And they were kind of just like, their response was essentially, oh, you know, people always complain when there's changes, they'll get used to it and stuff like that. The see-through pants thing, come on. That's not a get used to it thing. You're like, what are we doing here? Now, again, for me personally, there is no chance I would be purchasing, number one, I'm good to go with my Yankees jerseys collection right now, so I definitely don't need anything else. But if I was considering it and I was in the market for it, right? Like if they sign Juan Soto long term, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, maybe we'll see about that.
You'll definitely get one if he's signed.
Not if they look like this. Not if they look like shit like this. I'm just saying right now, I don't need it that serious. I'm saying it's not like, I'm usually very picky about which ones I would go with. And that's a complete turnoff. Now, the only way for fans to do anything about it from the fan perspective, don't buy it. It's that simple. Don't buy it. And unfortunately, I think like the casual fan doesn't know anything about this. So they're just going to, la-di-da, it's okay. Like there's nothing to see here. Keep moving. But it's a huge problem. I don't know. And just to touch on roles thing, it's true. And this is actually one of my concerns because I'm also a big hockey guy. Fanatics better not do this with the hockey uniforms next season. Yeah, Fanatics is becoming the official, not Nike swoosh on it or anything. Like Fanatics has become the official retailer completely of the NHL. And I can't begin to imagine what the hell is going to go on with that. Because Fanatics has been under fire for a couple of years now about the quality of their stuff that they produce, that it's just very inconsistent and it's shit. I personally do have some Fanatics stuff that I like. So I've only had really one situation where there was a t-shirt I ordered that looked like it literally was a bad iron-on job. And I sent it right back and they gave my money back. It was a quick refund, but I there's been a lot of complaints about it. So we'll see what happens with the Fanatics situation here, because that's brutal.
One of the other complaints too by the players with how cheap the shirts are, they said that they got their shirt washed like two or three times and the shirts were already fraying. Which like that's problematic too, because it's not really saving money at all.
No.
Because players, like, you know, a lot of the players slide, they dive for catches, like they get into situations where they're sliding into each other. Like you have to wash those jerseys constantly. And yes. if they're deteriorating and you just have to like keep buying and they're not lasting for like several washes, then that's not saving money either. So I don't know. There's just like all sorts of problems with this. They clearly didn't think it through fully and it's ridiculous. And although I agree with you with the pants, you know, there's some players I also don't mind.
Yeah, but it's just like it's bad. It's just it's not what you want.
It's not what you want.
It's not what you want. You don't want the attention of baseball to be talking about how poorly the uniforms are, and you're sending out emails and stuff and trying to like get fans to buy the jerseys coming up, and they're reading all this shit and they're like completely turned off. Apparently, Raul is the same way. Roll specifically, by the way, your Mets, that redesign where they removed the white trim from the letters on the black jersey, it looks like the replica jerseys that they used to make of the black jerseys. I don't understand what the hell's going on with this. What happened this offseason? Like, baseball lost their minds with some of this crap. It's on all of them. Like Raul had mentioned, it's on Nike, it's on Fanatics, and it's on Major League Baseball. Like, that's it, man. And how about just say, listen, back to formula. Let's just produce what we did last year. Let's go back to it. We tried something. Let's scale it back now and just go back to that. Like, everyone was happy with that. Come on.
So you said we weren't going to talk about any preseason games, but this kind of has to do with uniforms. Did you watch the two games in Mexico?
I watched.
Even if you watched a little bit.
Yeah, I watched some.
Okay. Did you see the Mexico uniforms, the Diablos Rojos uniforms?
I found the name somewhere between the 600 advertisements, but yeah. I tried.
So you know, they've been talking about that our uniforms in Major League are eventually going to move towards having advertisements on them.
Well, besides the one on the sleeve now.
Besides the big-ass Nike check mark, which is so dumb.
No, I don't care about the Nike swoosh because they make the uniform. So it's like, I mean.
But it's like extra big font. Come on.
See, like New Era?
Yeah.
Put these on this eventually, though. That wasn't always there.
No, they weren't, because I have hats that don't have that.
Yeah, and the throwback ones that they make, because they started reissuing the Yankees 90s World Series caps and stuff. And I rebought some of them because I still have the ones I have from back then, but they're like sweaty as hell. And I wore them into the ground and stuff, but I just keep them as like mementos. But I rebought a lot of them and they don't have the New Era thing. They actually made it to the specifics of how it was back then, which is kind of cool. But I was upset when they first had the New Era logo at first. I was like, oh, fuck this, blah, blah, blah. But then it was just like, all right, well, you don't have a choice now.
So I have to say that when we first started talking about the potential for having logos on uniforms, I was like, that's going to look so dumb. The Mexico uniforms. And I was like, it's not terrible. Like, it wasn't like, I thought I think I pictured it worse than that when we originally started talking about this. So I just wanted to own that. I was like, all right, it's not great. Like it was a lot, but it wasn't like, it didn't take so much away. I mean, the uniform itself is my favorite color is red, but I was like, that's a lot, yo. Like, that's a lot of red going on there. However, I just want to happily name they had not one, not two, but three mascots that I saw
for the same team.
And I want to go to a game there because how fun was the crowd?
No, they were international crowds are awesome.
Oh my God, they were so lively. I loved it.
Yeah,
absolutely loved it.
It's berserk the way that they watch their baseball. But I do think for me personally, there is a threshold that I will have for advertisements. Like the star patch, do I wish it wasn't there? Of course I do. Does it bother me? No, because it's on the sleeve and it's navy and white. At least it's the same colors. So it's, for me, it kind of blends in, so I don't really care as much. Now, for a bad example, look at the Astros.
The Mets one was bad.
Well, they did change, but theirs was larger, but they also did change it to Mets colors from, like, I know the start of the season was red and white. So, again, if it's going to blend in a little bit, then it's not as bad. Now, if you start replacing the NY with a logo and you put the NY on the sleeve and the name
terrible.
Of the team,
that's
when we cross the line here.
Don't ever do that.
But like the soccer jerseys.
Can you please highlight Kelvin's comment? Well,
first congestion pricing and now terrible uniforms. I missed the 90s back when life was good.
Look, life was the best in the 90s. That was the best music we've ever had. I mean, so much good stuff in the 90s. Thanks, Kelvin.
Yeah, I don't complain about the 90s at all. Some things have improved. I'm not going to lie.
Of course some things have improved. But, not uniforms, apparently.
Well, no, not to this very moment, no. I thought that, listen, I have a Nike jersey from the first season that they took over, and it's fine. I have an Aaron Judge one, an authentic Aaron Judge. It's a fantastic jersey. You should just left it there.
Okay, last thing about clothing. I think one of our episodes, Ed, should be you taking us through exactly how many Yankees baseball shirts, jerseys, hats you have in your life? Because that could be a full episode. I know it.
That can be, that might be like a 3-hour episode. There's a good chance. I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot. It's excessive. I never shy away from it. It absolutely is.
Because I see you have a Juan Soto shirt on today. I'm wearing my Aaron Judge home run tour shirt today.
This is one of the two Roto wear. The generational Juan Soto. He was actually wearing this at his press conference.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, Raul's bringing up another good thing with uniforms things. And although I do like the new Yankees road jersey. So Yankees specifically apparently just removed the white trim around the lettering.
Can't even tell. All right, you sent me a picture and I was like, what's different?
So there's two things about this. Number one, I guess because I grew up with the white trim thing, I'm going to prefer it. I always love that jersey as well. But I do have Mitchell and S throwback Mickey Mantle one that from, I believe it was 56. That's wool. That's all. Yeah. Story. But
that's ridiculous.
But the design of it was just navy and gray. That's it. Basically the design they went back to. So I guess maybe because it's like a throwback look, I don't mind it as much. You're right. By midseason, I probably wouldn't even like care anymore anyway. And that's it. But they've made slight tweaks to their uniform over time. So not anyone who thinks that they haven't been touched since the inception of the New York Yankees, you're not paying attention. There have been little tweaks here and there over time, and it's fine. This is just the latest one. Right. Currently, I'm still on board with, I do wish the ones that they've had my entire life up until now, I would prefer, but we'll see over time if that ends up, you know, a change. They don't look terrible. That's fine.
Well, I will say the one aspect about uniforms that I'm looking forward to are all the funky, cool cleats.
Yes.
Like, Nestor Cortez is going to come out with some cleats on opening day. Opening day.
No, he's pitching. Yeah, no.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Stroman's got the home opener, so I'm sure he will as well.
And Aaron Judge had been wearing custom cleats for a while. Now, I follow the guy who does Nestor Cortez's cleats. He's amazing.
Yeah, it's become like a thing now. Like,
yeah.
All right. So I guess let's hit on our next two topics quick. Just quickly before we get into the full Yankees preview. Earlier today, the Yankees were part of a three-way trade with the Rays and the Marlins. Basically, from the Yankee perspective here, we've got utility man John Birdie, who does play shortstop, third base, and left field, and has also played some second base as well.
He's very fast.
Very fast, 34 years old, right-handed bat. Last season, his career numbers, for those who are into war, he has a 7.7 war, career 258 hitter with an on-base percentage of 337. So none of that's really jumping out at you. It's not doing too much for me. But what I would focus on here is last year with the Marlins, he hit .294 with a .344 on-base percentage. He only had 16 stolen bases, but in 2022, led the National League with 41 stolen bases. Right. And that was prior to the larger bases. So it's not like that was like he's a product of that. Basically, you know, Oswald Peraza, he's hurt. DJ LeMahieu starting on the IL as well. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, Oswaldo Cabrera, mostly he's supposed to be batting left-handed this year. Like, he's kind of like ditching the somewhat switch hitting part of his game and focusing on his stronger side. So this would be the right-handed platoon option. He might get the start tomorrow at third base. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. He is arbitration eligible next season. So it's not just like this is a one-year rental thing. Basically, Yanks gave up the short version, the Yanks gave up a teenager and Ben Rortvedt. So any semblance of what turned out to be horrific Josh Donaldson, Ben Rortvedt, IKF trade are gone, right? Like we fully moved on. And the Rays have their backup catcher now. So it's not like this is the last we're going to see of Ben Rortvedt. We barely saw Ben Rortvedt. seemed like he was hurt all the time. I actually was questioning whether he really existed. I thought he was just like a made up name or something like that. Like, it's just, so that's kind of what we got. Yanks, for me, Yanks get more athletic, get a little bit more speed. That's where the game seems to be headed anyway. So I like the move. It's not, he's a nice piece to add. He's not going to like change the season, at least to that we think at this moment. You know, that's the case. I mean, the team is still the team, but I think it's a nice piece. And it seems like the Yankees just always make trades like right before opening day or on opening day. Every single year, it's like you got to get that last one in. Lisa, what are your thoughts on the trade?
To be honest, I don't have any thoughts on it because I was at work when all this happened. So I didn't really get to look into it. So I'll take your word for it and see what happens. But the only thing I did see was that he's a speedy runner. So, you know, we've talked at length about how we both like when people are more aggressive on the base path. So I'm excited to see, you know, a lot more stolen bases from several members of the team. I was watching something the other day on the Yes Network about how they're trying to teach more of the players sort of like the cadence of Anthony Volpe's, the way he steals.
Yeah, the whole like bouncing thing.
Yeah, the whole bounce, bounce, run thing.
Yeah.
And it was cool because you saw like Aaron, like he was doing it and Aaron Judge was behind him. And then you saw a couple other players like following suit with it. So, I mean, he's clearly one of the best, you know, base stealers on the team. So definitely folks could pick up a lot from him. And then now this guy will add to that as well. So I'm looking forward to that. That makes for more exciting games to me.
Yeah, fully agreed. All right, so then let's just talk about the projected roster of the Yankees for opening day tomorrow. Because
okay, wait, time out. I just want to know, are we going to talk about what I was really hoping we would talk about tonight?
What's up? Oh, we can chat about that. We'll close with that. How about that?
Okay, because I really do think people want to hear about that. If our boss is still on, boss, I think we need a food budget because I think it's our responsibility to try all the foods. I'm just saying.
There's some interesting stuff, I will say.
There is. I want to talk about it.
highlighted by Mr. Softly for me personally, but. All right, so basically we'll run down of what the projected roster is. We are going to kind of piggyback off of Brian Hoke's article on MLB.com that's here. So the catchers, I mean, especially after the Ben Roethlisberger trade, Jose Trevino and Austin Wells, that should be the catching duo.
And Austin Wells' mustache.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and to be honest with you, listen, I do love Trevino. His defense is phenomenal, but – for me, a big key for the Yankee season is Austin Wells hits the way
he
is projected to hit. You add another left-handed bat into that lineup, that's huge. So not due to injury, but if he's the one who's getting the majority of the at-bats this season, Yanks are going to be in pretty damn good shape.
Yes, they are.
I will say. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for here. And I do think that, yes, by trading Roethlisberger, you obviously are unofficially saying that Austin Wells has made the roster, which is something I liked what I saw. And spring training
was great during spring training,
And at the end of last season, I mean, the kid has some pop here, so
And I like that. I mean, I know that this is pretty common, but I just want to name I love the combination of the veteran in Trevino, and you know, he calls great games, he's very measured. You know, with and he's excellent on defense. And then you have Austin Wells, who is, I mean, Trevino can do something with the bat, but Wells is more consistent, and he's expected to be consistent with the bat, and he's young, right? Yeah. So we'll hopefully have him for years, and Trevino can kind of help guide him a little bit more and get him more seasoned before he moves on. And it's, you know, again, all good ball clubs should do this. The Yankees have a tradition of their catchers, the veteran catchers, really taking time, knowing that the next guy is taking their spot to train that guy. And I think that that's a really clutch aspect of what the Yankees have done with their catchers over the decades.
Yeah, and most – I'm about to say it's not recently in actual time, but like the most recent transition.
It seems like a here and here.
is Joe Girardi and Jorge Posada.
Yeah.
Who apparently also supposedly didn't have, there's a lot of rumors, you know, talk that they didn't have like the greatest relationship, but Girardi was the more defensive catcher who was brought in, a veteran catcher who was guiding in the switch hitting, more offensive style Jorge Posada. Who Posada, listen, while not being a gold glove catcher, was just fine back there. He did his job back there, did what he had to do. And that's what the knock on Wells has been. He's a hitter, but not much of a defender. So it's eerie similar of how that works. And listen, if Austin Wells turns out to have the offensive career that Jorge Posada did, mission accomplished.
Come on. Jorge Posada is my number one favorite Yankee.
Yeah, mission accomplished. I think things worked out. So that's what I'm hoping for. Mm-hmm. First base is Anthony Rizzo. I mean, the
it's your boy. Upside,
no, listen, I love Anthony Rizzo, but it's just it'll be interesting to keep an eye on him because of him coming back from a concussion stuff that derailed his season last year. He was absolutely crushing it until that, and then instantly was done, and we gave the Yankees their ribbings for that for a while of how the hell did it take so long to diagnose it. But from everything we hear, he should be good to go and exciting to see what he can do. And plus, he's playing for a contract. He's also not getting any younger. So this will it'd be interesting. And you want guys in a contract year. So I'd be curious to see how that shakes out. But excited about that. Another guy in a contract year is Gleyber Torres.
Yeah.
Should be our second baseman. Listen, again, had a good offensive season last year. We've talked ad nauseum to the frustrations we both have with Gleyber Torres, bonehead stuff on the base paths, on defense. Sometimes he gets super pull happy and basically tries to hit it literally out of stadiums. When he's just stick to your game, line to line hitter, and that's when he's always at his best. Shoot the gaps.
He did well this spring season too.
Yeah, and I know. And again, you got a guy high. This is as highly motivated as he's going to be. When the guy's in a walk here, use that. I personally would be surprised if the Yankees did re-sign him, but we can save that for, you know, throughout the season.
I don't like that.
Well, because I think there's another guy that they might need the money for to keep. But, hey, if they can make it work, so be it. But he is a bit frustrating. Then you got Oswald Peraza kind of in the wings and stuff. You still got LeMahieu on the contract, so as an infielder, he could be expendable over time. But Yankees could reap the benefits in 2024 for his, you know, his walk year. Anthony Volpe, shortstop. I fully expect the kid to take the next step here, you know, cut down on some of those strikeouts, bump up that batting average, bump up that on-base percentage, and keep running. Because in the beginning of last year, remember, he was like 19 for his first 19 or something like that. It was like 21 for 21. Before he got thrown out. And it was like, as soon as he got thrown out, he stopped stealing bases. He also stopped getting on base. You can't steal first base. So, it's, you know, I mean, I'm excited to see what Volpe's got. And in spring training, it looks like he's flattened out his swing. He no longer has that uppercut anymore. And he's kind of going more line to line. And that's the kind of guy, that's the kind of hitter I would expect him to be. And with his speed, should project as their leadoff man. Like long term, I mean, he has the tools. You just got to start again projecting what we think you're going to be. So, third base, John Birdie, Oswaldo Cabrera, platoon for now. Eventually, hopefully, DJ LeMahieu, who's having issues with the foot that he had last season. So, that's a bit troublesome. He's having trouble with that foot again. So, you know, we'll see. Because he had a good – LeMahieu had a good second half last year.
Yeah, he did.
Hard to build on that now when you're kind of getting derailed and dealing with the stuff. And he ain't getting any younger. So these injuries tend to linger around. So we'll see. You know, that's what I think we'll get that platoon there. And the outfield, I mean, that's where I feel like we're pretty loaded. Aaron Judge, of course, and who was dealing with his abdominal stuff again, but seemed like he's good to go now. And he'll be the center fielder. While Jason Dominguez is healing from his Tommy John surgery. So we're going to see a lot of Judge. Trent Grisham, who was in the Juan Soto trade, also platinum glove center fielder. And, you know, if he can give us something on offense, he'll get some starts on center field, judge in right, judge at DH, you know, yada, yada. And then Juan Soto, the big pickup, arguably the best left-handed hitter in all of baseball. I mean, I saw they're expected to play him in right. So it's supposed to be Soto, Judge, and then the next guy being Alex Verdugo, who is an interesting pickup for the Yankees, but a guy in his walk year as well, just like Soto. So highly motivated. But and I think he's a nice – Verdugo's a nice, solid player. Not, we'll go back to Soto in a second, but Verdugo puts the ball in play, doesn't strike out a lot, left-handed bat. His skill set is kind of the player that the Yankees needed. And
yeah, and he gives – he we talked about this when – well, you and I talked about this offline. But he gives, like, maybe not as much energy as, like, Nick Swisher. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's got, like – he's got that energy to hype up. Like, he's going to hype up the other players. And I just feel like he's, like, a hype man. Like
– yeah, no, he is. And that's the thing with him and Soto.
And he has fun. He likes to have fun.
Yeah, I think what him and Soto are going to bring to the clubhouse and to the team is they're both like they've got some fire.
Yeah.
I want to say like they are going, and Stroman, the three of those guys are kind of guys. Now I understand like when they're not on your team, it could be perceived another way, which I'm not going to act like I didn't perceive Verdugo that way.
Oh, both of us did, absolutely.
Of course, no, he was not exactly my favorite player on the Red Sox. I mean, my favorite player on the Red Sox is the guy who's not on the Red Sox, but anybody, literally anyone who's not on the Red Sox. But I will respect his on-field play though. Like he usually goes hard.
He'll die. You know, like, yeah. He's aggressive in the outfield. He's aggressive on the bases. So I like that.
Yeah, and again, not to over Juan Soto again in a walk year.
Come on.
I mean, phenomenal bat. You know. He's going to hit for high average, on-base machine, should probably give you 35, 40 home runs. Just don't change your approach in Yankee Stadium with the short porch. Just stick to your line to line.
Yeah.
And don't do that. Don't fall into the same well as Mark Teixeira and Brian McCann fell into, guys who were good left-handed bats that sprayed the ball all over the place, but then became pull happy. And actually Jason Giambi as well is another guy who fell into this. And I usually like to use the term seduced by the right field porch. Is what happens to them. They get sucked in, and then basically that's it. They become pole hitters.
It's so close.
It's so close. I can reach it from here. It's just, no, just stick with your game, and that's it. And Soto seems like the guy who's just that locked in on hitting that he's not going to fall into that trap. So,
Raul just posed a good question.
Oh, let's get that up here. I know you cannot predict the future. How do you know? But will Juan Soto be a Yankee long-term contract after the season? Our thoughts. I would be – for the Yankees to make this kind of move, it would be very difficult for me to envision them letting him walk. It just – and especially unless he totally shits the bed this year and they find out like he's a total douchebag in the clubhouse and everything goes wrong, then obviously then I would see them not retaining him. But – I can't imagine a world where Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner would make this kind of a deal and authorize this to let him go. I can't imagine. It's going to cost him a lot. He's probably going to get between 10 and 13 years, probably $500 million or some crazy stuff like that, $550
maybe. It's going to be one of the biggest contracts.
Yeah, of all time. And I think they're prepared for that, but I also do think that's why I mentioned Gleyber Torres. They might have to trim from other places, and they have money coming off the books. If they don't retain Rizzo and you don't retain Gleyber, which would be tough pills to swallow, but if you can get guys on the cheap that can replace them, I mean, maybe Rizzo comes back for, you know, takes a pay cut. Gleyber's not taking any kind of cut. That's not going anywhere. So
he should, and he shouldn't.
No, nor should he. This is his big contract. Labor should go do what he's got to do. But there is money coming off the books this year, so that can help them supplement that and stay under the luxury tax.
So I'll push back on I'll push back on one comment you said. You said unless he's like a major douchebag, and I in my head I said like three people's names who were douchebags that became Yankees, and you know what number one on my list was.
Yes, he's number one on everyone's list.
So I don't think that's going to be a problem if he is one. But no, I agree with you. I figured once, you know, like once they went after him and got him, I was like, oh, okay, he's going to become a Yankee.
Yeah.
So like I just don't see him unless one of the other big market teams offers him a higher contract and he's in it for that. And especially if the Yankees go far this year, like he's going to want to stay.
Yeah, and the thing it appears like the Yankees have done everything they could possibly do to make him feel welcome. And I think playing in the Bronx, he's going to also be around a large Dominican fan base.
Going to be around, well, I'm not Dominican, but he's going to be around his people.
No, that's what I'm saying. And the thing is, playing in Washington and San Diego, he's never really had that so far. Not as much as the Bronx.
No, definitely not as much as
that's
the
what
Bronx.
I'm saying. Just in comparison. No, I'm not saying.
Yeah.
Dominican people exist in Washington and San Diego. Yes,
no, no, but I'm not just thinking about Dominicans, though. I'm thinking about
the larger
the Latino community.
Yeah, exactly.
San Diego has a large Latino community. But yes. what I'm saying is you're right. Like he said one of the draws for him is he knows he's gonna get good food and he knows he's gonna be around his culture. Like it's very present. So I'm sure that's a big draw. There's a lot going for him here. Plus, it's the biggest market in baseball.
Yeah, and I'm sure you know the whole talk locally has been about Steve Cohen and the Mets making an offer and stuff like that. I'm sure they will. I have no doubt about this.
Of course, they will.
But again, I just find it very hard to believe that the Yankees would let that happen. Mm-hmm. Put it that way. They would just you traded for this guy. I think that was with all intentions. On keeping signing him long term, and they'll do what they need to do that. So, that's my thought. But yes, they will have Steve Cohen and the Mets will probably have. That's probably who they're going to be competing with directly. I think the Dodgers have kind of tapped out their thing.
Spent
all the money.
Depending on what happens.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I still think they might not get out of that contract though. If like the worst were to happen.
Yes.
But. That's a whole other thing. All right, so I guess that also takes us from outfield to designated hitter. We got Giancarlo Stanton, who's there, who is slimmed down, Slim G, to more of a baseball athletic body, as he referred to it as.
Still looks perfect.
Fair enough. It's fine. But you can see, though, his physique has changed, though.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
He's always been in great shape, yeah.
When you sent me the picture, the first thing I said was, oh, my God, his neck is, like, 3 inches smaller. Like, it was crazy how much slimmer his neck was. But, yeah, happy to say my favorite parts still look great.
I'm just hoping he stays on the field. And, listen,
me too.
He's a guy who's probably going to be batting, like, between 5 and 7 now with Soto and Judge at the top of the lineup and stuff and the attention being shifted there. Stanton can kind of like lay back in the weeds a little bit and just whatever you get from him, you get from him.
Did you see those bombs he hit that one spring training game? Like,
yes. Yes, I did. No, one the power's still
one
there.
Of them, one of them is still like, you know, traveling.
No, the power's still there. I mean, the dude is a massive human being. So, and he gets a hold of one. He's going to drive the damn thing no matter what. So he didn't need all that like Schwarzenegger muscle over there. Like, that's what I think he's thinking in terms. And,
yeah,
we'll see. But I just think there's not as much leaning on him now as there was previously. So
do you think the Lucha Libre mask is his Jobu now?
Listen, if that's what works, he can do it all the time. I don't care. Whatever keeps him on the field and producing, please.
Absolutely. Keeps him on the field.
Yeah, so you had mentioned Oswald Cabrera's utility player. That's here. So we'll see. There'll probably be another couple of spots that'll bounce out. Starting pitching, I mean, the big news being Gerrit Cole, who suffered an injury, who hopefully will be back actually pitching late June, July. Mm-hmm. They said 1 to 2 months. I'll always err on the 2 months. Then he'll need to ramp back up. So knock on wood, this isn't like a precursor to Tommy John surgery. I know that's been out there a lot. So we'll see. But, you know, fingers crossed. He's been one of the most durable starting pitchers in all of baseball, mm-hmm. you know, for years now. So I'm hoping this isn't like his, you know, the bill has come due on all of that. But we got Nestor Cortes, who's starting tomorrow. Carlos Rodon, who I think those two are going to be the keys to the Yankees starting pitching this season. If Cortes can find his form from 2 years ago and Rodon can do the same, I think that's what will decide how this season is going to play out for the Yankees.
Those are two big ifs, though.
No, they are.
And you know I love Nestor Cortes.
Mm-hmm. Marcus Stroman, guy who they signed to, you know, was a lot of chatter about. He's had his issues with his mouth a little bit, you know, social media and stuff like that. He seems very hyped up to be with the Yankees. Mm-hmm. Talking a great game, but we'll see how it goes. You actually got to pitch it. So, but he's actually a pretty damn reliable starting pitcher. So I think that's, they're going to be good there. Clark Schmidt, it'll be interesting to see if he takes the next step. He did. He took a huge step last season. So hopefully he can continue. And Luis Gil, who is mm-hmm. going to be the fifth starter, had a phenomenal mm-hmm. spring. We've liked some things we've seen from him in the past. You know, mm-hmm. he's gotten some starts, so that'll be promising. And a lot of fans not thrilled with the way the Yankees did not land Blake Snell or bring back Jordan Montgomery or didn't get Corbin Burns and didn't get Dylan Cease. I think something to take into consideration. I wanted plenty of them. It's fine. Monty, everything I read didn't seem like that was actually going to happen. But, and also obviously Yamamoto did not happen. So mm-hmm. that was very upsetting for me personally. I'm sure
I know you were waiting for that shirt to come out.
I wanted Yamamoto badly. But Yamamoto got smacked around all spring and got lit up in his first start. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe the Yankees dodged a bullet there. But the important thing is this. The Yankees are up against the top luxury tax threshold. So the short version, they would have to a 110% penalty on every dollar they go over. So translation, if they would have signed Jordan Montgomery to that 1 year, $25 million contract that the Diamondbacks got him for the Yankees, they would have to pay $50 million because of the fines as well, like the tax they would have to pay. Also international pool money, which was how they ended up with Jason Dominguez. And also draft pick compensation, which has become way more important these days. So I can understand the whole Hal's being cheap shit. Not
he's
exactly
being
the
smart.
Right term.
He's being smart
and we're not
and calculated.
Yeah. Yes. And that's fine. They'll probably address if it needs to be addressed, because who knows, maybe it does break right. But yes, odds are they will need to make a trade at the deadline. So we'll see how that goes to get reinforcements. But then again, so does every other team. It takes us to the bullpen. Clay Holmes, still the closer, still got good stuff there. He does a solid job, but he does get those erratic times where if he's wild in the first batter, it's tough to watch that, because then it can go anywhere. He has too much movement on the sinker, and that's that. Nick Birdie, not to be confused with John Birdie, Caleb Ferguson and Victor Gonzalez, two lefties they got from the Dodgers. Ian Hamilton, who we had seen last season, along with our buddy Johnny Lasagna. Luke Weaver, another guy they picked up. And Clayton Beter is in the bullpen. Now, Clayton Beter is who they got for Joey Gallo. So, we shall see. He's got good stuff, electric stuff, but we'll see. If Clayton Beter pans out, then we actually salvaged the Joey Gallo trade. We'll see. But that's basically what we're looking at there with the roster. You know, I fully expect them to compete for the AL East. I mean, it's them and the Orioles is who I think it's going to be between. All right, and we shall see. I mean, do you have your probables and stuff or
no?
Okay. So, either way, tomorrow's Nestor Cortes and Framber Valdez, 4 o'clock, Yankees-Astros in Houston tomorrow, so we'll see. Interesting things to note, tomorrow on YES, Friday on Apple TV+. So, here we go with that. Saturdays on Fox, Sunday back on YES. All over the place.
Come on. My parents were so upset that they couldn't watch one of the Mexico games because it was on the Yes app only, and my, you know, my late 70s parents do not know how to use or get the Yes app. So they were not happy about that. But
I have it. I'm pulling it up now. The stuff that's going on here. I have not forgotten about what the heck? Come on, man.
This is gonna be my favorite part of the entire conversation.
All right, so we're gonna
I have it all written down if you need it, so
okay. Wow, this gives like the whole menu. We don't need
to I have the new ones.
Go ahead. Take it away.
All right. So at Fuku, which I've never gotten anything from there, I don't believe. They have a sweet and spicy chicken sandwich. That sounds like an Ed's gonna try it.
Absolutely. That's 100% happening.
Then Christian Petroni. So we've had the cheesy garlic bread. You like it. I'm not a fan. The two times that I got it, it was not warm. Super messy. But Christian Petroni is adding cheesy garlic bread with meatballs and an 8-hour marinara sauce. So I'll try it. I'll try that. We both I think would try that. Now yes. The next one, when you sent me the list, I said this, and I'm saying it on here too. Mighty Quinn's is adding a Chipotle barbecue chicken sandwich to the menu, but they are not bringing back my pulled pork nachos. Do I have to get a petition signed to get my freaking nachos back? That was hands down my favorite food at the stadium for years. And while a couple of other things have come close, nothing beats the pulled pork nachos. Mighty Quinn, get it together, please. Bring me back my nachos.
They were pretty damn good.
They were freaking phenomenal.
They were really good. I guess that's kind of how I felt when it wasn't my favorite thing, because my favorite thing in the new stadium has always been the Bobo's. Specifically the steak top fries, but the steak sandwich is delicious too.
So I think you're excited about the next one, and I totally thought of you. And even I, as a non-steak eater, was like, I might have to try this one. So when you get it one day when I'm with you, I might have to try it. Lobel's has a barbecue filet tip loaded tater tots.
Let's go!
That sounds good. I can't even lie. Mm-hmm. Marcus Samuelson, his street bird company, is going to have chicken wings at the stadium. Ed and I are very excited about Mr. Softy coming back.
Fuck yes! Sorry, I'm not holding it back. That is one of my favorite things, and I will say, to get at Citi Field, because they've had Mr. Softy. I'll say it, I don't care. Mr. Softy's been at Citi Field for years, and they mm-hmm. offer multiple ice cream options, which the Yankees are still going to do. Mm-hmm. But, and you know I was all about the Ben and Jerry's, especially the Tonight Dough. I was Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Dough. I love all that about one. That. But, you get soft serve, just ice cream.
Perfect.
Be a shake. You don't need sprinkles. Anything else. Yeah. I'll take that every day. Now,
absolutely.
It's funny because I was just mentioning this to Angie. All right. I had told her, I'm like, as excited as I was about Mr. Softy, I'm like, I bet you I get this like twice this whole season because you know I will refuse to stand on a line with 6,000 kids. I'm like, it's over. If I don't get the ice cream when I first walk in after finding my parking,
you're not getting
it. 6:15, 6:30, it's over. I will just let it go.
You know what, Ed? I will stand on the line because I have
yes, you shakes
because you know I'm a shake fan.
Yes.
And you know that especially during like the summer games, I get very hot and mm-hmm. I'm like, I need ice cream. And I will disappear for 3 innings and wait for a damn shake. So speaking of the shakes, they are officially bringing back my favorite. So the Baby Ruth shake will be regularly there again. Then they're going to have a Butterfinger shake and the Black and White cookie shake. However, you sent me a picture
yes.
of the most amazing looking shake I've ever seen in my, if I can marry a shake, I would marry the shake that you sent me from the White Sox stadium. I want to go to Chicago. First of all, I want to go to see a White Sox game anyway, because I've never been to that stadium. But I will go to Chicago just to get that shake. Holy moly! It's a campfire marshmallow shake with roasted marshmallow, giant marshmallows on top.
Yes.
Which I just, everything about that sentence is amazing to me. So, but speaking of other ice cream, they're also going to have Blue Bunny Scoopable. But who cares, because they have Mr. Softy and the butter and the Baby Ruth shake. So, moving on. Sweet Spot Bowl is going to have a carne asada steak a bowl with sweet plantains, rice and black beans, pickled onions, and cilantro sauce. That's a you thing, because I don't eat steak. Goose Island has a drink. It's called the New York Legendary Ale. I don't know if you've ever had. Oh, that's exclusive to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I'm going to give that. Even though I don't drink at games a lot because usually I drive, but mm-hmm. I'll wait for a game where Angie goes with me to actually, it'll probably be opening day, where I'll go ahead and have a beer then or two, and then, you know.
That's it for the season.
Yeah, I just don't. Yeah, because again,
no, I know you don't. So. You always get your Pepsi non-zero.
Non-zero? Why is it non-zero?
Because didn't you say, like, they stopped selling it at some point? Or you got mad. You got really upset.
No. There's certain stands that always never seem to have it.
For right. Some bizarre reason. I mean. Your Pepsi non-zero.
Bullshit. Yeah. It's like, come on. It's nonsense.
So I reported on, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 new things to try at the stadium. Between the two of us, we will report back on all of these things, because we will both have all of 100%. These. At least one of these things each.
Yeah. Oh, and Mack Truck has a new mac and cheese.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. Yes.
Is it bacon?
Yes. I will. Yep.
Yeah, bacon.
I volunteer for that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I volunteer as tribute.
Well, we got the first Sunday game together, so I'm sure we'll knock one of these things off.
We do.
So, excited about that. Well,
me too.
All right. So I think that does it. We don't have a top of the heap or the king of the hill because nobody's done it yet. So
It's us.
We are the king of the hill and the top of the heap. But listen, thank you as always. And I'm also going through some crap here with the music thing, because I'm between like streaming sites here. It's a long story. I'll explain it another time. But I apparently did not enjoy trying, what the hell was it? I tried Spotify for the first time ever. Did not enjoy it.
I love Spotify.
It was just the interface. So I think that's what it was that I did. I'm not used to. I'm probably going to go back to
one more comment for us. He's got a prediction for us. Thank you, Raul.
Okay.
Thank you for joining the first episode, Raul.
Absolutely.
And Kelvin and Farachi.
Oh, I had to stop that thing here. I think the Yankees will have a record of 90-72, finishing second place in the AL East and a wild card representative. Raul, I will say that that's on my lower side of prediction. I mean, I'm hoping 95, between 95 and 100 games. I think that's what I'll see. But everything does have to break right with it. But that's fine. That's a fair thing. I can't say that's completely absurd. And then what we've learned recently with the new playoff format, just get in and you see what happens. The hottest team usually would go ahead and take a look at the Arizona Diamondbacks just last season. So, all right, now we're queued up because I went to YouTube. All right. Thank you as always for checking us out. Check us out on Facebook. Be sure to check out the Empire 161 Show Facebook group, as we share highlights and lineups and all the other fun stuff that are on there. So check us out there. Check out popculturepros.com. That's who we are represented by, popculturepros.com. Also, check us out on X at Empire161 Show. Yeah, I know. It's fucking. We all know it's fucking trash. So and then also on Instagram. Lisa's favorite, one of our favorite parts of every episode. So watch me go through this. At @the_empire_161_show. So Lisa manages that page. I manage the Twitter page. It's back to Twitter now. So go ahead and check us. Yes. So check that out. Check us out there. Tomorrow, opening day.
Woo!
Favorite day of the year. Let's go Yankees. All right. We'll see you then. Peace.
Have a good night.
And Angie's calling to ruin this.